New year, new podcast, but the question on nobody's lips is how long is this going to last? Well, given the fact that we've not muted the names of any political parties mentioned in this episode, probably not very long. So enjoy us while you have us, and welcome back to still season 2 of Bollywood Weekly. Okay, hello everyone, and welcome to a long-awaited episode of Bollywood Weekly. I'm out of excuses now in terms of why there hasn't been a show. This time I have a somewhat valid excuse in that I got married in the time in between. Shreya, my guest here, can tell you whether the wedding lived up to expectations or not.
First of all, I'd just like to say thank you for letting me be your first guest after your long break. I feel very privileged. No, the wedding was definitely loads of fun. So it definitely lived up to the expectation of Uttara ki Shaadi, for sure, yes.
This is not the longest break that I've had, though. The last time I took such a long break that when I came back, I branded it at season 2. So,
well, this can be your season 3 or season 2.
No, it's not been long. Yeah, season 2 part 2 is more like it. But anyway, so since we've been away for so long, we have decided to reward you listeners by talking about not one, but two movies. Uri and Accidental Prime Minister both released last weekend. What do you want to talk about first?
I think let's start with Accidental and then go on to the better movie.
Yeah, I mean, with obviously, just to call it out up front, with both movies, it's very hard to separate the timing and motivation of releasing these movies, given that elections are coming up and these are both very unabashedly pro-BJP and Modi movies. But yeah, to that end, which is why we're doing also doing this together, apart from me just cheating and releasing this as two episodes. But because it's hard to separate the two movies in that sense because of that underlying thing. But with Accidental Prime Minister, it's just so blatant. Like, it's such a bad movie. And it's weird because I watched it and I was like, okay, this is obviously bad. But I went in hearing it was the worst movie ever. And I'm like, okay, it's not that bad. Yeah. And then I watched Uri and I was like, oh my God, Accidental Prime Minister was so bad.
Yeah. So I did the opposite. I actually went to watch Uri first, yeah. Which is why, I mean, it was great. It was such a good movie. The acting was amazing. The storyline was great. The way it was made was also really good. With Accidental Prime Minister, I unfortunately read all the reviews before going in, so I kind of had a preconceived notion. And usually when the same happens for other movies, like, I always think, oh, it wasn't that bad as the reviews made it out to be. But this one definitely lived up to the reviews, basically. Yeah.
But my biggest problem with the movie was that it just didn't seem real. It felt like I was watching an SNL sketch for like 2 hours. Because like the way they portrayed Manmohan was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, Anupam Kher, like, he was just there. Like, he wasn't really acting, and that voice was also just like so ridiculous.
Yeah, what was that really? Yeah. I mean, I think they tried too hard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, definitely they tried their best to get a resemblance to the people they're trying to portray and act as, but they pushed it a little too far.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It was too, like, caricature-ish, basically. It didn't feel real. They nailed, I think, the look and stuff for most people.
Yeah.
Especially Sonia Gandhi.
Yeah.
And Rahul as well. But yeah, just the stuff they were saying, the way they were saying it, and even Akshay Khanna's character, Sanjay Barul, he has this permanent smirk on his face, as though he's like better than everyone and he like knows something that nobody else knows.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need to do that for 2 hours nonstop.
Also, I mean, I read in one of these reviews that Sanjay Barul actually doesn't dress that well all the time. Not if he looks so, you know, well put together.
Yeah.
So I don't know where that image was coming from.
Yeah, it's weird. Also, just randomly, they make him seem like this Mafia Don, like there are random shots of him just sitting on his table smoking a cigar no reason. Like it's just like a scene transition as him smoking a cigar and nothing happens. So yeah, I don't know. It was weird. And yeah, I mean, okay, you know, the movie is based on a book. The book is actually supposed to be quite interesting. And to an extent, I think the movie was interesting in terms of it showed different situations in history and kind of tried to give a behind the scenes look.
I mean, I don't know, because it basically showed what happened for the past 10 years when Manmohan Singh served as Prime Minister.
Yeah, I mean, it showed Sanjay Baru's account.
Yeah, Sanjay's account.
Yeah. And so, because I kind of expected the whole film to be basically just like bashing Manmohan and bashing Sonia Gandhi and Rahul Gandhi. It actually didn't bash Manmohan that much, apart from just making him seem very, I think, a lot more timid than he was. So, if like, and yeah, there will be spoilers for both movies, FYI. But I actually like that, you know, because I was wondering, like, what can they actually show? But for the first half, they actually show how he actually took a stand on certain things. And, you know, there was a point in time where he was regarded very positively and was seen as a hero and seen as his own man. Even though there were always fears that the Gandhis would just kind of use him as a puppet.
Yeah.
But for the first half of his tenure, it wasn't really like that. And the thing that annoyed me was that, yeah, they showed that this happened, but they showed it in such a way that Manmohan himself had nothing to do with it. Yeah. It was just, you know, there's that scene where he's giving that speech and he's rehearsing for the speech before. And he's awful. And Sanjay Baru is trying to coach him.
Yeah.
And it's a really funny scene if you just for humor, if this was a fictional story, that would be really funny.
Yeah.
But because
the fact that he was a prime minister.
Yeah.
And
the fact is, I mean, Manmohan Singh was a brilliant economist and he couldn't have got to where he did without having some kind of authority or ethos, right? And they show him basically as having no voice of his own and everything, all the positives of him. Oh, it's because of Sanjay Baru.
Yeah.
And then the negatives happen because of him. So I felt it to be very biased in that sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also feel like he wasn't given, like you said, like much importance. And also they didn't show any of his good traits, like what he did during his term. None of that was shown. It was just a part of it was shown. I feel like, yeah, he tried taking a stand for something, but then eventually that also got downplayed because what they were just trying to show is that Sonia Gandhi was behind everything. She controlled everything at the end of it.
Yeah. And even, like, I don't know, super small things. Like, there are, like, three times in the movie where he calls Sanjay Baru and he's like, how can you do this to me?
Yeah.
And Baru is, like, confused, like, what have I done? And one of the situations was so ridiculous where, maybe it happened, but, like, I find it very hard to believe, where Sanjay Baru, to a newspaper or to a journalist, who asked him, like, oh, so what is going to happen regarding this nuclear deal? And he's like, que sara sara. And Manmohan is like, what does que sara sara mean? And I was like, this guy has been to LSE. He's a economist, PhD. There's no way he does not know what que sara sara means.
But maybe that was just there for, like, the humor element. Of
yeah, but it, you know, but it adds to the whole thing that, oh, Manmohan is an idiot and he doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
And everything is just, he's either being played by people who want to do good like Sanjay Baru, or then people who want to do bad like Rahul Gandhi and Sonia Gandhi.
Yeah,
that didn't kind of sit right with me, I guess.
Can we also take a moment to talk about the background music? Because what was up with that? Like, the entire movie, I was just like, wow, the background score is so off and I'm so out of it.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many other problems with the movie, I didn't really notice it
how?
That much.
This was like the first, not the first thing, but it definitely came to my mind.
Yeah. And then the last 20 minutes is basically just full-on propaganda. Literally, it's not even subtle anymore. It's just, and they use actual footage of Modi's election campaign and him saying "Ma beta ka sarkar khatam,"
and
like,
"Ma beti ki jodi ab khatam."
Yeah. And the crazy thing about this, which scares me a little bit, is we watched this movie in Singapore at Suntec City, which is like a regular theater, not like an Indian movie theater. And it was reasonably full. And literally, whenever they made a joke about Sonia Gandhi or Rahul Gandhi, or whenever they showed this footage of Modi and all of this stuff, people were like clapping and cheering. And it was a bit weird. I'm like, it was really weird. I don't know how to explain it exactly. But I've never seen people so politically charged up over something that's also like, whatever, 4 years ago now, 5 years ago. But
yeah, no, I went mid-week, so I didn't face that problem. In fact, I felt like a lot of people were disinterested. Like, I saw a few people in front of me checking their phones constantly, and this one guy was trying to record parts of the movie. I hope he's not listening, is it?
There
are multiple of you.
We had a very engaged audience, including a very helpful person sitting behind me who was pointing out all the people saying who they are in real life.
That is very helpful. So it was actually that is quite, very helpful.
Yeah. But yeah, literally it was like catcalls and whistles.
Also,
like,
I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of the dialogues were silenced.
Yeah,
I could read the subtitles, but they weren't, like, they had silenced the dialogues, which I find really strange.
I don't know if that was just silenced in Singapore or silenced in India as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, but like, yeah, they basically silenced and whenever they actually took the name of the party. Like throughout most of the movie, they just referred to it as the party or this thing.
Right.
But like their names are Sonia, Rahul and Manmohan. So it's really not so I don't know what the point is of censoring that. But yeah. But anyway, I mean, on this topic of propaganda, there was big controversy because the first trailer of the movie was promoted by the BJP. They shared it on like social media and stuff. So people were like, oh, obviously this is not going to be a unbiased movie and all of that.
But also, I have to say the trailer looked very promising. When I saw it, I was like, oh wow, this is going to be such a good movie. And I was really charged up to go watch it. But after reading the reviews, I was just so disappointed.
Yeah.
But I still had to see it, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, it's part of don't want to talk too much about it, but it's part of a broader concern in general that under this government, there has been a lot of issues with censorship and freedom of speech. And, you know, when there's one thing with censoring content that's out there, there's another thing where it's actively influencing what content gets made and pushing these stories. Like, I don't think it's a coincidence that both these movies were made when they were made.
Yeah.
And with Uri, at least, they have done a phenomenal job and it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one thing. But with Accidental Prime Minister, it really looks like they've just made this movie for this purpose. No one has put a lot of thought or effort into it. And yeah, so it's a bit disconcerting.
I mean, we know that the BJP is really good at propaganda. So even if you think back to the elections that happened 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Narendra Modi was all over, because I remember I was in India during the time of the elections, and it was just crazy. Like, on the radio, on TV, print, anything and everything.
No, not even that. On WhatsApp, all these forwards and stuff. And like, there have been many examples of the BJP IT cell planting tweets and stuff on social media, which are pretty funny. But stuff that's like kind of less funny. And again, we're moving off topic slightly, but one of my family members, who's like much older, like 80 plus, sent me a WhatsApp forward. And the forward was basically, it was a bunch of like statistics, most of which were fake. And it was basically about how the number of the Muslim population in India has been growing, and how in 2050, Muslims will no longer be a minority and they'll be the majority, and that if you're Hindu, your breed is dying out, so please make sure you become Hindu and spread Hinduism.
Oh, I was just God. Like,
what on earth? I'm like, literally the statistics were like, oh yeah, in 2050, India will be 76% Muslim and 21% Hindu. And it's literally like, because the growth of the population historically has gone from 5% to 15%. So literally the numbers are just that straight line drawn for 10 more years. And I'm like, that's not how demographics work. But for people who are uneducated and for people who, and like a lot of India now has access to smartphones and data, and a lot of like the newer people who are smartphone adopters are often not like educated. So
but
for them, if you show them this, like even in the US, even in the US, we've seen how fake news is extremely powerful. Yeah. If especially if it's like reinforcing these thoughts that you may already have. And so, yeah, it was, and the forward is incredible. It's like,
but yeah, that's what exactly I agree that this is just part of a much larger problem.
Yeah.
And apparently BJP is, like you said, these fake cells or whatever group of people, they've been tweeting about how the BJP government has helped X number of people get new eyes or like better vision or something.
Yeah.
Just basically all, and all of this is obviously amping up now because it's so close to the election time. So yeah, I mean, like you said, there's no doubt that these movies were released at a very particular time for a very particular reason.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly scary to think that propaganda or the way they're making movies is set to influence people. So silencing people is one thing, but trying to influence their thought process is just completely another.
On the bright side, they've also announced a movie called PM Narendra Modi. Did you see this?
Oh, no, I did not.
Have you seen? Oh my God, you haven't seen the...
No.
Just like Google this right now. It's a poster of... they just announced the poster, basically. It's called PM Narendra Modi.
Oh,
and it's just incredible.
Right. And Vivek Oberoi is supposed to be playing Narendra Modi,
Vivek
right?
Vivek Oberoi is playing Narendra Modi.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Yeah. So I'm just happy because the fact that Vivek Oberoi is playing Narendra Modi makes me believe that it'll be a terrible movie. And so that may backfire. But yeah, I mean, if they just show Modi's life as a biopic and him doing all these great things, then this is straight up propaganda.
Of course. So, no doubt about it.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the world we live in, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, just to whoever's listening, please do vote.
Yeah.
Like, sorry to again go off topic from movies and Bollywood, but it's imperative, really, honestly.
Anyway. Okay, any other thoughts on Accidental Prime Minister?
No, I was just very concerned about the background score that I've already voiced out. Sorry, I still can't forget it. It's a very minor thing, but it's influenced me a lot.
Yeah, I would say definitely don't go to a theater to watch it.
Yeah.
It might be worth watching on like Netflix or Prime Video or something, for like curiosity value.
Mm-hmm.
It has a pretty solid cast, to be honest, like all the supporting characters and stuff. But
like
the whole movie and the construct just seems so unreal that it kind of takes away from the whole thing. Okay, that is the end of part one. We'll take a short break and we'll be back with part two. Okay, and welcome to part two, where we will now be discussing URI, Surgical Strike. And yeah, again, we've talked a lot about the political stuff in part one. So I'm just going to analyze this movie pretending that none of that exists, because it's just easier, even though it's probably not the right way to do it. But if you pretend that none of that exists and none of that is problematic, this is an amazing movie.
Agreed. Just the way it was made, the way it was shot, the acting, I think everything was great. And what I particularly liked was that since it was based on a real life incident, this thing, it did happen. A lot of the parts from the movie were also true about how the daughter of the martyr crying and saying out the slogan of
the soldiers of their
unit. It was true because it's I vividly remember this. She came on TV and there were like Facebook posts about it, about a picture of her saluting the body and crying.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad that they actually picked real life moments and they put it into the movie. It just made it seem very real.
Yeah. And that scene in particular, I think, is like the most powerful scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I was basically tearing up.
Same, I did.
While watching that.
I might have shed a tear or two. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Yeah, it was incredible. And the thing that I liked about the movie is that it's... Well, two things. One is that it's really tight. Like, it's very to the point. They don't waste a lot of time, you know, making things overly dramatic, except a little bit at the end. But despite that, they actually show the full timeline, right from the, even before the initial strike in Uri.
Yeah.
They show a bunch of, you know, how tensions had been escalating in Kashmir, in Punjab, etc., leading up to the first attack, and then how
the whole
retaliation happened. And yeah, I mean, for political correctness, I feel compelled to state that Pakistan's official position is still that this never happened, but we're obviously operating under the assumption that the strike itself happened. Obviously, everything before the strike is all true and happened. But yeah, I mean, I generally don't like war and fighting movies. But I was like, I can't remember the last time I've seen a movie of this genre being made so well. Not just Bollywood, like in any language or industry.
Yeah, I agree. For those of you who haven't seen it yet, and this is not really a spoiler, but like Pish was saying, it's just so tight and made so well. It's also divided into chapters. So it's actually quite nice because they give you a background and then they give you the main event and then they give you the retaliation. So it's just a great movie, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even find one thing that I didn't like or that I was like, oh, maybe they should have changed this or, you know, maybe this could have been better.
Yeah.
It was just very well made.
I think the only complaint, which is a very small complaint and didn't really diminish my enjoyment of the movie, was in the climax, basically, I was watching it and I was thinking, oh wow, like, this is so unlike a Bollywood movie because it's all been very surgical, for lack of a better word. It's all, they've gone in, they've done what they had to. There hasn't been any of this, you know, oh, there's a last minute glitch.
Yeah.
Something has happened. He's like stuck and like whatever, like none of that stuff. And then they added like just a little bit of that, like not 100%, but like a little 30% of
drama, this the masala.
Bit of drama with this one guy that they can't find. And then they have 2 minutes left. And then when he finds him, suddenly after doing everything with guns and grenades and stuff, they have to have a fist fight. As opposed to just, you know, how it was with everything else. Yeah. So, you know, it lasts for a couple of minutes and it's still, it doesn't kind of diminish from the overall.
I actually forgot about that part because I feel like that's how minor it was. Yeah, but you're right. Now that I think back, it was slightly elongated, that particular part, because you wanted to fight him and you wanted to beat him up.
Yeah. Then one thing I did not fully understand was how they got away. Because, and this is again a little bit of like Bollywood touch, because that plane just kind of appeared out of nowhere.
Because, like, where was it?
Yeah, before? Because like, I mean, again, sorry, spoilers, but there are like 4 teams that go by air, and then one team can't because their intelligence figures it out, and so they enter by land instead. And so literally right before they cross over, they stop and they don't cross into Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. And then when they're escaping, they're all under heavy fire from the
Pakistani fighter
jets. And, you know, they say, okay, you're going to get back up in 10 minutes. And the guys are like, okay, 10 minutes, I don't know if we'll all be able to survive. And the whole big statement that Vicky Kaushal's character has made is that I'm going to come back with 0 casualties, with all my men intact. And there's this point where like, okay, 10 minutes, it doesn't seem like it's going to happen. And then Vicky Kaushal is, not literally, but like metaphorically, basically snaps his fingers and this plane that they were supposed to go in on suddenly appears. And
with background music, proper music,
So
he calls an amen, the music starts and
So I think, I don't doubt that they probably happened and they planned it in a certain way, but the way it is shown in the movie, it's very dramatic and Bollywood. That's the only part which I felt was like, okay, this is a bit... filmy, but everything else I felt was really realistic and believable.
Also, the whole drone thing, right? Is that true? I don't know.
I mean, and that's the thing, because like these things are kind of classified, no one really knows.
Right.
But, and again, maybe I'm biased, but I don't think I am. And the reason I say I'm biased is because I know Akashdeep, who was the kid, the intern, Ishan, who's acted in a bunch of filter copy videos. So
I think he's a fantastic actor. Like, I remember seeing it and I was like, wow, this guy is amazing.
Yeah, he was at that whole sequence, and in a very serious and very intense movie, that 5 minutes of him and his boss talking to Paresh Rawal's character is so funny. It's hilarious.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, and so yeah, shout out to Akashdeep. That was amazing. But yeah, like, I was just watching it and I'm like, oh my god. And like, obviously, filter copy videos are very different. So I don't mean this in a bad way. But I was like, damn. Like, I have no idea this guy could act so well.
Brilliant. Yeah. He was brilliant.
Yeah. Vicky Kaushal was, of course, outstanding again. I felt like a little, at the very dramatic parts, he slightly overplayed it a bit. But I think that's okay. And yeah, the movie's done phenomenally well. The producers actually came out saying that it's a risk for us to have Vicky Kaushal in this movie because he's not like an A-grade star. And so to bring... I also, though, feel like that's a bit of a marketing technique to like build Vicky Kaushal up once they knew the movie was going to do well. I didn't check to see when they actually made this comment. But it's kind of true in that... As a solo actor, he doesn't have any track record to speak of, although he's obviously kind of critically acclaimed. But critical acclaim doesn't always translate to box office. But he's pulled it off, and it looks like it's going to be a 100 crore movie. So I'm happy just that, you know, the part of 2018 that we missed out on was the whole Ayushman Khurrana boom. With Andhadhun and Badhai Ho. So I'm glad that Ayushman and Vicky Kaushal and these guys are actually getting big box office numbers.
I agree,
kind of content-driven movies and unconventional movies.
I mean, Vicky Kaushal played an amazing role in...
Razi.
Razi, yeah. Yes.
But I mean, there's all, like, that is still an Alia Bhatt.
Of course, yeah, definitely. You know. But yeah, I think he's a fantastic actor. I think for me, it's because he's done so many different roles. He's very versatile. Yeah. And he's played the part in each. So I'm not going to go into a Vicky Kaushal movie and remember him from Arazi or remember him from Uri. I will look forward to him playing like an entirely new character. Like in Sanju, he played Sanjidat's best friend so well.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's pretty... I think he's someone to definitely watch out for.
Yeah, no. And... I think, yeah, again, like...
I just wanted to point this out. I think the producers of the movie also donated a large amount of the revenue to widows.
Yeah, to the soldiers, army widows, so that's nice. Yeah, and to me, the other thing that I liked about it, and obviously, you know, the... sorry to keep going back to this. You can't ignore the timing and stuff, but watching the movie, it didn't really feel like... It didn't feel like it was propaganda, for lack of a better word. It didn't feel like... It wasn't like overly patriotic or jingoistic. It wasn't, we hate Pakistan, Pakistan sucks. Even the soldiers who were the victims, they were not screaming for blood and like this and that. It was how I imagine it to be in real life. People are like, okay, things happen. We have to do something. And I liked also the... there is also a Modi lookalike in this, which is really funny as well, the Prime Minister.
Yes, of course.
But I like, there's that meeting when they're deciding what to do and they come up with this idea and someone is like, Pakistan ki janta se hame koi dushmani nahi hai. And that's a very like level-headed statement to
dialogue,
make. Like, you know, in a movie where, and you know, after the strikes happened, the government made a big deal out of the fact that this is the new India and, you know, India traditionally has a reputation for being very soft on terrorism and very reactive, and even after 26/11 nothing happened, etc. And so the government after the fact made a big show and tell about, oh, this is the new India, we're not gonna bow down to international pressure, we're gonna do what we want. And even the trailer plays that out a lot, like it focuses on those kind of dialogues. And so I was a bit worried that this film was going to be like that, but it wasn't. Like, those dialogues, when they happen in the film, are very natural and very like part of a much bigger level-headed discussion. And so I liked that it, regardless of what motivation it was made with, it still stayed
true to being as kind of realistic and balanced as possible, which is why I don't feel the kind of, and of course, apart from all the technical excellence of how well it's shot and acted and stuff, I don't feel the same negative sentiment to the movie even being made the way I do about Accidental Prime Minister. So, because I think with Accidental Prime Minister, even if the movie was great, I would have felt a bit uneasy. But with this movie, I don't feel that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yami Gautam was also pretty good as the agent slash nurse.
Yeah, she had a very small role, but
yeah.
She was pretty okay. I feel like I'm seeing her in a movie after very long.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
She disappeared for a while.
She was in Kabul, which was this time last year, basically. The Hrithik Roshan. But again, in that, she had an even smaller role than this, I think. But she's actually a good actress. I think she's, I don't know why she doesn't get more roles. I mean, I do know why, but.
Anyway. Let's not go down that road right now. I feel like that's just another discussion altogether.
Yeah.
I feel like you missed out on a lot of potential topics from 2018, huh?
No, but what I'm planning to do is do a series of 2018 recap podcasts.
Yeah.
For all the times that I'm not going to get to fill in the gaps of the movies I won't get to see on time, because we missed out so much. And the good thing now is, like, literally movies come on Netflix and Amazon Prime so fast.
Yeah.
So, it's even not too late to do podcasts on some of those movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Sorry, another thing now that we're on the topic of Netflix and Amazon Prime, I don't know if you've seen Rajma Chawal yet.
No.
It's a very cute movie. It's literally about a relationship between a father and a son, and the fact that the father can't relate to the son because he's just so millennial for him.
Yeah. But it's an American movie, right?
What do you mean? Like shot by an American?
Bended Like Beckham was British, but I guess in that analogy, where it's like a movie about Desi people, but it's...
No.
Oh, really?
Not at all. No, it's a Hindi movie set in Delhi, in old Delhi.
Oh, I don't know. For some reason, that was the impression I got.
Yeah. I mean, the acting is really good of, obviously, Rishi Kapoor and the actor who plays his son. There's a little bit of extra masala and drama in it.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just one of those, like, small, really cute movies that you can watch just, like, you know, on a Sunday at home. And it's a very feel-good type of movie.
Nice. Okay, anything else on Uri before we move on?
No, I have no complaints.
Alright, so, but yeah, I mean, I touched upon this briefly, but box office-wise, it's doing, like, really well. It's probably on track to be 100 crore film, which, again, for Vicky Kaushal as the main actor with no other, like, star or anything attached to it is amazing. Accidental Prime Minister is also doing, obviously not as well, but it's doing okay in terms of it'll break even and maybe make a little bit of money.
Of course. No, I mean, any publicity is good publicity for movies, right? Because you'll hear the movies bad, but you'll want to know, is it really bad? So you'll go watch it.
Yeah. So, anyway, on that note, let's move on to the upcoming movies and the trailers. So this week's release is Cheat India, or Why Cheat India, as it's now called, with Imran Hashmi. We just watched the trailer, so what do you think?
I think it's tackling an issue that actually hasn't been spoken of before, in terms of, like, no other movie has come up with this topic, as far as I know at least. But yeah, I feel like it is a really big issue, especially in India. So let's see how the movie goes. But I just feel like the trailer wasn't enticing enough.
Yeah.
I wasn't 100% convinced to go watch it, even if I'm very honest. I don't know if it's just the cast or maybe the trailer wasn't well shot, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the premise is really interesting. The trailer, I agree, wasn't very enticing. I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt, though, just because I feel like the people who cut trailers are sometimes just, like, play it very safe and don't really know the best way to go about doing it. Because even the Uri trailer is another example. It's just designed to get people to watch the movies, and the only way they'll do that is based on some notion of what's worked in the past or what they think. So, like, the trailer is a lot of just Imran Hashmi being a sly crook, which is like what he's done in Jannat and what he's done as being like super
suave
and
this thing.
Yeah, basically. And so the trailer has a lot of that, which is not very enticing. And I don't feel like they focused enough on a lot of the other more interesting parts of the movie. But I feel like the movie will probably still touch upon that stuff. And so, yeah, I think it could be a good movie. What is more likely probably is it's one of those movies that has an interesting premise, but is just not made well enough for it to be lasting.
I feel like it's bad, to be honest, but yeah, I mean.
Okay, so that was one. And then the following weekend, we have Manikarnika, Rani of Jhansi. Kangana Ranaut has been in the media a lot recently after disappearing from the media for like months, prior to which she was in the media constantly. So yeah, a lot of theories that she's now just come back to make noise because the movie's coming out. It's probably true.
Yeah.
But I was super bored watching this trailer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, also, we discussed it, the CGI was just so bad and it looked super fake.
Yeah. And it was, I don't know, like something about, there's nothing really about the movie that felt really appealing. And I feel like, you know, I mean, I think Kangana Ranaut is a good actress, and but I feel like just the last few movies she's done, it's just been her kind of screaming and shouting and playing up to this, again, a bit caricaturish version of her and not really acting. So
yeah, I just don't know if I can handle the 2.5 hours of CGI, to be very honest. But on the note of her acting, yeah, definitely, I feel like she's a good actress. I don't know, maybe this is just her attempt, or maybe, you know, like, the one movie that she thinks is really gonna put her out there again and, you know, get her back the fame and the popularity.
And I mean, like, and on the surface, it's a very good and noble premise, right? You have this really fierce female warrior. In a country like India, we need more movies about strong, fierce female warriors, whether literal or figurative. And that plays in very well to the role she's done before and the whole kind of image she's tried to portray for herself. So from that perspective, I get the logic of making this movie and casting her. But again, like you said, I just feel like, you know, unlike Padmavati or Bajirao Mastani, unlike those, like, I feel like this is just not well made enough for it to have that impact, regardless of what Kangana does or doesn't do. So not super excited about that. And then looking beyond that, a couple of movies I'm pretty excited about. One is Gully Boy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Same here.
I think it's interesting for two reasons. One is just because the whole hip-hop scene in India is just quite fascinating. And I'm curious to see how that is.
Yeah.
And two is that Zoya Akhtar is obviously an amazing filmmaker. But the one main criticism about her has always been, oh, she makes movies for rich people about rich people problems. Like Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara and Dil Dhadakne Do.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of true. And now she's gone the complete other end of the spectrum and is making movies about like guys from the shawls and how they rose up and their life. So I'm really curious to see how she manages to pull that off.
The star cast obviously helps. I also feel it's one of the most awaited movies, way more than Cheat India or Why Cheat India and Manikarnika.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the one criticism the trailer has come as faced is that, so the whole buzz going into the movie and the launch is, it's basically based on like the real lives of these two rappers, Divine and Nazy. For people who listen to like the Indian hip hop scene, they're like the two biggest names probably. And that was the whole buzz the last like year and a half going into the movie. Obviously, no one knows to what extent it's like accurate, to what extent it's kind of dramatized, fictionalized. But the trailer does look very similar to 8 Mile,
which
is, and there's actually someone on YouTube, I'll try to find the link and put it along with this episode. Someone on YouTube has actually created a clip where the video is I don't know if it's actually the trailer of 8 Mile or just different clips from 8 Mile stitched together. And the audio is just the trailer and it goes perfectly. So, yeah, that's...
Maybe share that with me. I actually really want to see it.
It's really funny. But, so yeah, that is one thing that's hard to get away from. And, like, even watching the trailer, I was like, oh, this is a lot like 8 Mile, which I wasn't expecting.
I feel like a lot of people said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe Divine and Nazie did go through similar things. And, like, a lot of, obviously, the hip-hop culture here is very localized and product of the environment, but they will obviously get inspiration from the US because that's like where hip-hop is from, right? So it's not unrealistic to imagine that they have rap battles and that, you know, they have troubled families and all of that. So willing to give the benefit of the doubt, I think.
Yeah, agree. We're not going to hate on it.
No, I'm really excited for it. Yeah. I have this like very, I don't know what to, Alia Bhatt I love and I think she's super versatile as an actress. Yeah. And after Urta Punjab, I believe she can do anything,
yeah,
basically.
I agree. I think Urta Punjab was the changing moment for
with
her.
Ranveer Singh, I don't know. With every movie I watch, and I haven't watched Simba yet, which I feel like this would take it in the opposite direction. But with every movie I watch, I kind of like him more. But I also feel like he's a bit enigmatic because a lot of the times he's just doing stuff that's very unique to him. So I don't know if he's really doing something that amazing or if he's just like being him.
Exactly. I'm not particularly partial to him, to be honest, because I feel like a lot of the normal roles he does, like in Dil Dhadakne Do or Be It Another Movie, I haven't seen Simba either, but he's very himself. And then something like Padmavat and then Bajirao Mastani, it's, I wouldn't say same but similar.
Yeah.
So those roles, like, it's not something different that he's doing. He's not a different actor in every movie.
Yeah.
You know.
But this one, to his credit, I think is quite different. And obviously while he's rapping, he's still doing his crazy stuff. But for the rest of the movie, he's actually quite restrained. So it would be interesting to see that.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah. And then the final trailer, which I think is the most interesting, is Ek Ladki Ko Dekha.
Yes.
With Sonam Kapoor and Anil Kapoor.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because the trailer is... deliberately, I think, or I assume, kind of
vague
and skirts around this whole thing a little bit, but there's enough in the trailer which gives you an idea of what the movie is about, which is effectively, same-sex relationships, and, Sonam Kapoor's character, it appears, is a lesbian, and she is like typical Indian culture, facing pressure to get married from all sides. She even has men who are ready to marry her and in love with her. And yeah, I think it's just, there are so many things in the movie which make it super interesting.
Yeah, and I actually like the fact that the trailer was vague. I had to read a review to like figure out exactly what it was, or maybe I think I read the review before watching the trailer. But anyway, I like the fact that it was vague.
Yeah, and again, Rajkumar Rao is great. I really like him.
I agree. So, I actually really like him too. Yeah.
So I'm hopeful this can be like what Ayushman Khurrana did with Vicky Donor and Badai Ho, bringing out topics that no one really talks about, but doing it in a family-friendly way and a way that is
relatable.
Relatable and acceptable to people. I'm hopeful that this movie can be similarly kind of path-breaking for the LGBT community in India. And I know like the LGBT community in India has been very happy with this trailer and with... because it's for the first time, I think, in Indian cinema... barring maybe Kapoor and Sons to an extent, portrayed a same-sex relationship as normal.
Yeah.
Aligarh is obviously another example, but there it was also the story of how he was persecuted because he was gay. Whereas with this, this is very different in that sense. So, yeah, very curious to see how it goes. And I do have to give credit to Sonam Kapoor. We've spent a lot of time on this podcast criticizing her. But Sid's Neerja, I think she's displayed very shrewd judgment in terms of the films that she's done.
Okay.
Not that she's been great in all of the films. What was the... Veeray the Wedding is a prime example. But again, that film was path-breaking in its own right for different reasons. So yeah, good for her. Okay, anything else? Any other stuff that you read that caught your eye or that you're excited to see?
No, actually. Not really. I'm just glad that there are movies that are coming out that not only speak about relevant social issues, but they do so in a fun and engaging way.
Yeah.
And I mean, 2018 was actually a pretty changing year for Bollywood, I feel, with movies like Andhadhun and Badhai Ho coming out. And yeah. I feel like it's really picked up pace from there. So even the movies that are coming
and
out.
And not just like those movies coming out, but those movies doing like amazing numbers.
Yeah, true.
And the fact that all the big stars basically had flops. Race 3 didn't like flop, but it was very average by Salman Khan's standards.
Even Zero, right?
Zero completely tanked.
Yeah.
Thugs of Hindustan completely tanked.
Yeah, and that had like an all-star cast. Like.
So I think there is a clear trend towards like the stars will... Because the thing with having the star movies is, if you just look at absolute numbers, Thugs of Hindustan did like 100 crores or whatever. But when you have a movie like that, the budget itself to make that movie is insane. And usually the budget for the stars itself is like 30, 40 crores. So you need to have 100 crores to just break even or even more than that.
Yeah.
And so even though a lot of people are like, oh yeah, like, but Race 3 still made 160 crores and whatever. But the fact that it didn't make 300 is the good thing, because everyone involved in that movie now didn't make money or lost money. So they will think twice about making the next one. Same for Thugs of Hindustan was a massive disaster.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it. It's going to be part of our 2018 catch-up series because it's on Amazon Prime now.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, because no one has... It went out of theaters so fast that...
Smarter than to sell it then, yeah.
Now, rushing it out to get as much as they can. So, although actually, I heard the only person who I know watched the movie. That's not true. I know a few people who watched the movie, but out of the three people who I know watched the movie actually liked it. So, you never know. Zero as well, although it did really badly, has like very mixed reviews. Like some people really thought it was interesting and different. Some people were just like,
what is this?
Unlike Jab Harry Met Sejal, which was universally...
Disliked, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. So, just going back to the original point, the fact that now having a star and having a big vehicle is not enough, potentially, to guarantee you a good return on the box office.
Yeah.
You'll hopefully start seeing more people take risks and putting out more content-driven cinema.
Yeah.
And
also the actors that are doing well aren't your usual A-listers.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like they are going to be more, and this might be a cynical way to think about it, but in the past, you know, the actors who did different roles did that as a way to then get the masala roles and become A-list. Whereas with these guys, they are almost like the anti-traditional star. Yeah. So they will keep doing movies that are different and are like, you know, I can't see Ayushman Khurrana or Vicky Kaushal going and doing a Simba or going and doing like a, Judwa 2, Judwa 3, whatever.
I feel like more than that, I hope they don't do it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know? I hope they don't, but just from knowing them and understanding whatever I do about how they think about their careers, or at least how they portrayed themselves, I don't think they will do that.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I at least believe that there's a middle ground. Like, I think you can have movies which have the typical Bollywood elements of song and dance and stuff, but are also meaningful and about you know, real issues. I think, like,
I agree.
Kapoor and Sons is a good example.
I mean, even Badhai Ho had so much masala in it, but yeah, it was exactly. still just such a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, hopefully those guys will move to that, but not to the other end of the spectrum where there's no plot and no, this thing.
Just cars blowing up.
Okay. On that note, thank you so much for being here, listeners. Thank you for being here, Shreya.
You're welcome.
We will have you back very soon. Yeah, literally the podcast is relying on you now to stay afloat. So one of the, I know I always complain about this, but one of the other challenges I've had in doing the podcast regularly is finding people to do the podcast. Uttara, my beloved wife, has just walked in and she is the prime reason for this as well. Prime culprit in this.
I just want to let the listeners know that when I asked her if she would be joining us, because she saw Accidental Prime Minister and she's like, no way. And I was like, wow, way to support your husband now.
Yeah, exactly, Uttara. If any listeners are interested, Uttara actually didn't hate the movie that much. She thought it was like okay and it was interesting, but I think she was treating it more as a documentary, so it was more interesting to learn about the things that happened in India because she didn't know anything about India.
Uttara, stop relying on these movies to be accurate. Hi, friends!
Okay, that's getting edited out. Okay, anyway, on that note, thank you guys. And we will see you, I won't say when, but we will see you very soon. Thank you so much for listening. That's our show. If you enjoyed that, then please subscribe and spread the word. Bollywood Weekly is available on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, Audioboom, and pretty much anywhere else where you might get your podcasts. And if you have any comments or anything you want us to discuss on the show, then do get in touch with us by following TIC Productions on Facebook and on Twitter. See you next week.